You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here, along with the cousins Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Guys, normally we record on Tuesday nights. It's a Monday night right now because we have huge news in Huskerland. It's been announced that Scott Frost will return for at least one more year. So that got quite a buzz in Lincoln. And then shortly after, we hear four assistant coaches have been fired immediately. Mario Verduzco, Ryan Held, Lubick, and help me out here. I'm running
Greg
out.
Greg Austin.
Greg Austin. All gone right now. Quite a buzz, quite a stir. Guys, I hope you brought out a lot of alcohol here because I have one tall whiskey and three beers here in the office, and I don't know if it's going to be enough for this podcast. Tyler, I guess we'll just start with you. What do you think of this? The news overall.
I'm surprised. I didn't think Frost was going to get a vote of confidence. Certainly. Not with two games left after losing another game. It wasn't that I thought for sure he was going to get fired, but I just am surprised they're not letting the season play out. So I think my initial reaction is I did not imagine to see something about this topic today.
Derek, what about you?
Well, it was definitely a surprise. I did not expect to see it. I think it was smart of them to do it because right now, recruiting just is sucking balls. And part of it is because there's so much wonder if Frost is coming back next year. So I think something needed to be said so that we could still do some recruiting. Now, with the four coaches getting fired, I don't know what that's going to do to recruiting because I don't know who's going to do your recruiting at this point. But
so in this announcement that was made today, there was a couple of press releases that was that were issued by Trev Alberts and Scott Frost. I'm just going to really real quick read these from Trev Alberts. He says, in my 4 months at Nebraska, I have closely observed our football team and had several productive discussions with Coach Scott Frost. Scott has laid out a clear plan and vision for the future of Nebraska football and has agreed to a restructured contract. I am excited to continue to work together with Scott. We share a love of Nebraska and this football program and want nothing more than Nebraska football to again compete for championships. So he goes on, say a little bit more. Derek, when you hear about this restructured contract, which we now know the details, what do you make of his statement there?
I mean, I don't know. This is athletic director talk. If anything, I guess. Like, this is, to me, Trev Alberts going, look, we don't want to pay you $20 million to fire you right now. So we're going to bring you back for another year. You better do good, or we're going to cut that buyout in half.
Right. Tyler, give us details on the restructured contract that just came out tonight.
Yeah, so a lot of details still to be determined, but what has been announced is that Scott Frost's base salary is going from $5 million to $4 million a year, and his buyout after the 2022 season is going from $15 million to $7.5 million. So a pretty substantial haircut there. I mean, you look at this, and I think one thing that can't be overstated about Frost is, I mean, he is potentially giving up $7-8 million to come back and deal with this shit again. All the fans that are clamoring for his head, everything. I mean, he just agreed to give up a lot of money to come back because I think he believes that much in it. So you got to commend him for that. But they haven't announced what they're going to do, but you would imagine they are probably going to incentivize it so he can make some of this money back.
He's making $4 million, Tyler. I mean, he's already overpaid at $4 million. Well, I was shocked that they cut it down.
He is now the second lowest paid head coach in the Big Ten. So,
and he should be down to where Mike Locksley is at like $2.5 million for the same amount of wins.
That's fine. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. I'm just saying, like, when don't – I mean, Nebraska has – if you want to say Nebraska has money, we shouldn't be paying the, you know, the second lowest amount of money. So I don't be saying $4 million is overpaying him.
It's overpaid
I forgot to tell you, Justin cuts his checks, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Well, Justin, I don't get this. Like, he's being paid below what – a Big Ten coach average is. He's being played arguably below market value for this.
But in four years, he's proved that he is on the bottom tier of Big Ten coaches.
And he's paid on the bottom. And he's paid on the bottom tier of head coaches.
Yeah, it should be lower. Trev Albert says Frost is betting on himself. You know why he's betting on himself? He's not going to get this kind of money anywhere else where he goes. Oh,
I don't agree with that at all. I think that this is really not a very good payday for a head coach in college football nowadays.
You think he's a Power 5 head coach?
I think this is like Group of 5 head coach money he's making.
I strongly disagree. I'd like to see that data right there, but I'm sure there are some Group of 5 coaches that are making that much, but they're not making, typically they're not making over $3 million. Derek, I mean, are you okay with the restructured contract as is? I know you're making fun of me.
I'm fine with it.
Cut his checks, but I mean.
Look, we're making $56 million a year off TV contracts. I don't think that's $4 million a year is hurting a university whatsoever.
Well, I think.
So, yeah, I don't really care.
But I think you're a little bit right there. I mean, the only reason that I think this really happened is because that buyout was too high to begin with. And they're like, I don't want to pay that. So if you want to renegotiate your contract, we'll let you come back for one more year so we can get that buyout a little bit lower. Prove to me that you can actually win. That's basically what's being said right there, right?
Maybe. I mean, I do think Trev Alberts has some faith in Frost. I do. I think Frost. I know the win loss record. I'm not going to argue it with you. I mean, it is what it is. But you watch these guys this year and watch how all these close games. And yes, the losing sucks. I get it. But man, it's always just one or two plays that we're missing out on beating top 10 teams. Like, I hate to throw it all away just because you don't like him.
Well, the talent is there. We have the talent. It's the coaching that is letting it slip. The coaching is bad.
And he's making a huge change. He's firing basically his whole offensive staff.
Which is really comical, isn't it? I mean, he's in charge of the offense. And basically, it's like, it's not his fault. It's all these other guys. You know, year one and year two under Frost.
So what are you suggesting, that Scott Frost should fire himself?
Well,
Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I think yes. Scott Frost should be fired. Yeah.
See, Justin is the guy who wants a coach change every season. He was the first person to want to fire Mike Riley. He wanted to fire Bo Pelini. Yes, he did.
I remember the first one to want Mike Riley fired.
Okay.
I was the first one to want Mike Riley
fired. Fair enough, but Justin wasn't that far behind you.
That was me.
But Justin is the guy that doesn't want to build a program. He just likes to complain about the guy that's there. His whole excitement around Nebraska football is finding a new head coach.
So year one and year two, Scott Frost's excuse was Mike Riley and what he left him, right? And then year four, when the team still sucks, it's his offensive coaches that are the problem. That's comical to me. It really is comical to me. It's not Scott Frost's fault.
So he's coming back, whether you like it or not. He's coming back.
I know.
Are you suggesting he should keep these coaches?
No. I mean, I think they fired the wrong guy.
So he's doing the right thing, but it's stupid of him because he's doing the right thing?
No, I mean, you had to do it, but it's the wrong people are getting – not the wrong people – the whole offensive staff should be fired, but the fact that Scott Frost gets to keep his job for $4 million a year and restructure his deal when he is the problem, why we are probably going to be 15-29 and 3-9 on the year in year four. I mean, all the other guys, he went to Scott Frost He went to Trev Alberts and he laid out this clear vision or clear plan on what he wanted to do. And what is he saying? He's like throwing his assistant coaches under the bus to buy himself another year.
Jesus.
Yes, that's exactly what he's doing.
No, it's not.
I don't believe that.
This happens all the time. This happens all the time where coaches go on the hot seat and they get rid of coaches to keep their jobs because that's what you do when you're on the hot seat.
You know who just did
it's
this?
It's not throwing them under the bus. Dan Mullen. It's not throwing them under the bus. It's getting new coaches.
Dan Mullen just did this in Florida. Dan Mullen just did this in Florida. I don't want to get ahead of the – I feel like we're getting ahead of Scott Frost and we're going to the assistant coaches. But, I just – to me, agree or disagree with the decision of Frost back. I think we're already – we've kind of skipped over about 20 minutes of dialogue here, Justin, so you could get to your Scott Frost bashing. But,
it's not going to end. I mean,
Which is so funny because just a week or two ago, Justin was telling me how if Trev Alberts brings Frost back, then he'll agree that it was probably the right move and he trusts Trev Alberts. And now Trev Alberts brings him back and he's like, well, he's an idiot. What the hell is he bringing him back for?
Well, yeah, because I didn't think he would bring him back, you know, after what we've done. That was different circumstances. But let's talk about this way. Let's talk about the pros of bringing Scott Frost back. What are some pros? So, I mean, recruiting, right? Recruiting, it makes sense to announce it at this time for recruiting, right? That's a good one. The restructured contract really is a pro. When you get down to the financial incentives, I still think he's overpaid, but if you get that buyout to a meaningful amount, that's fine. What are some other pros about bringing Scott Frost back at this time? Derek?
I think it helps keep your roster together. I think it keeps Scott Frost from losing the team for these last two games.
Okay.
Which is something you thought he had done already. He had already lost the team already, which he clearly hasn't done after this Ohio State game, and I don't think he's going to lose the team. I'm a little concerned about how these last two games are going to end up looking with no offensive coaches, but...
All right.
I mean, we'll see.
Tyler, give us some other pros of keeping Scott Frost.
I think it lowers the drama level for a couple weeks. I think that you had so much swirling. You know, it's interesting because what appeared to be a very, very vocal minority. I mean, all the polls out there that I have seen on the Scott Frost, should he be brought back? It was well over 2/3 of the fans. Most of the time, 75-80% of the fans wanted him coming back.
Are you talking about Twitter polls?
I'm talking about the Twitter polls. I'm talking about the people I've talked to.
How do you know all of those are Husker fans that are voting?
I don't. I mean,
I don't, but it could half the 28% that was voting to have him fired could have been not Husker fans too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can tell you what I've talked to people in Nebraska. Since moving back, I have that ability to talk to people. I was at a wedding on Friday night before the Ohio State game, where arguably, even though we lost to Ohio State, his stock probably went up by how well we fought. The overwhelming majority there, no one wanted to see Scott Frost gone. Now, you may not like the fact that people want him back. I get that, and I think there's a lot of evidence to say that, man, it's not looking good. But I think what it does is by announcing it now is it puts to bed the whole conversation and allows him to say, he is going to be the guy at least for 2022.
Right. Yeah. That's the good thing about the timing. It's like, okay, well, nobody has to dwell on that anymore. The assistant coaches that are gone, they're gone. You have 2 weeks to prep for an interim set of coaches. So that's fine. I mean, that's fine. You have interim coaches and you have a little bit of a head start to hire some permanent staff. Any other pros about extending Scott Frost to next year?
At this time, are you talking about the timing of the announcement?
No, I'm just talking about just extending him in general.
I mean...
We're going to talk about the cons here in a second.
I mean, I think the pro about keeping Scott Frost goes back to the two points that I feel like I've been making. One, we eventually need to be consistent. There is a reason why people like Colin Cowherd and Joe Klatt are all saying this is the right move by Nebraska, because they are not delusional about what Nebraska is. We have paid the second most amount of money to firing coaches over the last 20 years. Why? Because we keep revolving it. Eventually, I've said we need to go all in with a guy. Well, I think Scott Frost is about as good a guy as any is to go all in. And maybe we lose, but I'd rather build with him. So that's one reason. I think you got to keep giving a guy a shot. Two, there's a lot of really big players going to be in the coaching search this offseason. You might have Florida. You already have LSU. You have USC. Depending Miami, on how Miami could be in the
possibility.
Mix. Penn State could be. You have a lot of big things in there. Nebraska is not going to rank highly on that. So if you're going to enter into the Sharks, like, we haven't had the best history of getting the big name coach. Bill Callahan, Bo Pelini, Mike Riley, none of those guys were the big name coach. And yes, Bo Pelini passed. Bo Pelini passed because we liked him.
Bo Pelini was the number one guy on the list.
I get it. But that the name that I'm hearing is the Oklahoma defensive coordinator, who has been a defensive coordinator for 3 years. That was basically Bo Pelini, and fans would riot if we brought him in. So, yes, Bo Pelini was liked, but independently, having a three-year defensive coordinator or four-year defensive coordinator with no head coaching experience is probably not the greatest head coaching job for Nebraska. Point being, we don't always hit it out of the park. So I think this gives you another year. Hopefully, if it doesn't go well, hopefully it does go well. You have a little bit less talented, and you're not competing against all these big wigs, and maybe you can go make a stab at one of the bigger, you know, group of five coaches.
All right, let's talk about some cons about retaining him or some reservations that you have. Tyler, what are some reservations do you have about bringing him back?
His record. I think he is, over the 4 years he's been here, he's consistently got a team to play hard. I think that he has shown progress in spite of his record this year. I think there's a lot of things, but at the end of the day, the most meaningful stat is record. And whatever the reason is, he hasn't figured it out.
Derek, what are some of your cons about bringing him back?
I mean, that would be, I agree with Tyler. That would be about my only con. Other than that, I mean, again, it's hard to argue the pros right now for Scott Frost, other than the faith. Like, I have faith in this guy. I think he's right. I still feel that he's the right guy. But I can't argue a lot. I mean, I do think he's improved a lot. Like, I know the record doesn't show up, but I do feel this team is much better than the last 3 years. Certainly much better than the team they were last year. To include the offense. I think the offense is much more explosive and much better this year than it was last year. I don't have a ton of cons on bringing him back. I really don't.
I mean, there's the winning, the lack of winning is certainly the number one.
And that's the one thing you have to point to. And I can't combat that. Like, I agree with you that the record sucks.
And even in the wins that he has, through 4 years, he doesn't have any signature wins. He only has two wins against FBS opponents with a winning record. So all of this whatever people want to point out, whatever he's building, point to it. What is he building? Because we're losing close to good teams. We're losing close to bad teams also. I mean, it's just...
The only team that I feel is a bad loss at this point is Illinois for this season. I don't think the Purdue loss is that bad. Not after they just got done beating Michigan State. They beat Iowa. Like, losing to them is not that shameful.
Okay, well, I mean, you didn't like Jeff Brohm headed into the year. As a matter of fact, the last 2 years, you thought that Jeff Brohm should have been on the hot seat last 2 years.
I thought he was definitely on the hot seat this year. And he's way off the hot seat with those two wins alone.
Yeah, he's getting signature wins. All these other coaches, Brett Bielema, he has signature wins in year one. I mean, the only other coach that doesn't have...
He's got a Penn State win, but... Penn State was not good in that game. Penn State is not really looking to be a top-notch team for the rest of the year.
Is Minnesota not a signature win for him this year?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, there's a ranked team, right?
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore, but, I mean, they were a ranked
team.
They
were ranked for all of 1 week. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean... We lost to that Minnesota team. The point is, other teams are racking up wins and meaningful wins, and we're just not doing it. We're barely beating the teams that we're supposed to. I mean, we quite often, we've lost three games this year as favorites. We're favorites in three games, and we still lost those? Come on. I don't think that's... I don't know what you're setting up in year four. That I mean, makes you think that
you,
this is...
You talk like we were like two touchdown favorites in these games. They were coin toss games.
7.5 points. Two of them were a touchdown or better games. Illinois and Purdue.
Illinois. And I said Illinois was a bad loss. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. And Minnesota was another 7 point. And then, you know, last year we had a double digit. We were double digit favorites against Illinois and lost. I mean, it's not just isolated to this year. It's been going on.
No, but what I'm saying is, you can look and see the progress from last year to this year.
So, Justin, I have a question for you. Do you think this is Scott Frost's best team?
So, talent-wise, yes, I think
on the field, do you think this is his best team? Simple, yes or no?
I think he has the best talent, and he's underachieving. I think he's. I'm not talking about his achievements.
It's a simple yes or no. Do you think this is his best team?
Talent-wise, I'll say.
I don't know what you mean when you say talent-wise. Record-wise, obviously it isn't. So is it?
Maybe the talent in 2018 was better than this year.
But on the field, do you think this is his best team? Do you think if this team plays any of the other Scott Frost team, which team do you think wins?
Probably the 2018 team would beat this team.
Okay, I disagree. I think this is clearly Scott Frost's best team on the field through 10 games.
So that should embarrass you even more. But to think that we're headed in the right direction when we're a 3-win team with his best team.
So my question to you, Justin, is do you think like all the national media just liked, you know what? Nebraska, they don't matter. So let's just have them keep Scott Frost. Like, why do you think like people like Joe Klatt, Colin Cowherd, all of the national media are coming out saying Scott Frost should come back?
I have no idea.
Maybe because they're actually watching the games and saying, man, this team looks a lot better than they have looked in years.
We're close.
I'm not talking about moral victory. I'm just saying like people are watching these with their eyes and saying, yeah, this Nebraska team is doing some nice things.
Also, I'll say this. If they fired Scott Frost, it would just be another mockery of Nebraska again, because everybody's going to go, who does Nebraska think they are? Firing coaches again. All they do is fire coaches.
You're making it sound like we're firing a good coach.
This is what happens every time. This is what happens every time Nebraska fires a coach.
After 4 years and you do not have a winning season and you're struggling to win any games the way that Scott Frost has with his best team. And then what was it he said after Purdue? He said, you know, we have good talent. We don't have great talent. Then all of a sudden Ohio State happens. And what does he say about Ohio State? He's like, wow. He's like, you know, I'm really proud of these guys. If we'd play like this against every other team, we'd have a couple more wins. They have the talent to compete. They have the talent, and the coaching staff is letting them down. I know he's making changes on the offensive side, but he is the biggest. I mean, he's the biggest factor on offense. You can't change two different offensive coordinators like he has already, and all of a sudden think that, you know, this third one, things are going to change. I mean, that's crazy, guys. It's not his
again,
fault.
Again, I don't know how you can look at this fault. Offense and think it's not better than 2019's offense.
I mean, is it marginal? The only reason that we're in games is the defense. The defense is something that is kicking ass. And that's why there's no changes on the defensive side of the ball, because the defense is doing their part in all these games. They're putting the team in a position. If it wasn't for this defense, if this defense was a step back, I mean, we wouldn't be close. It's only the things that Scott Frost has been touching, which is the offense, that is keeping us back. And special teams.
I would argue it's way more special teams than it is anything else, but
I mean, yeah, special teams
and that's something that needs to be addressed. And
yeah, and Scott Frost has had 4 years to address it, and he doesn't do it. But he's getting a pass because he has white Husker privilege.
You're right. Just fire everybody. Fuck it. Fire them all.
That's what I'm telling Derek.
That's what Justin wants. He lives for this. He doesn't want to watch Nebraska football. He just wants to wait for the new head coach and then bitch about him. That's all that he's interested at this point in his life.
If we were to fire Frost, we'd get a new coach, and within 3 years, he'd be talking about firing him again.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're still winning 3 or 4 games a year?
If we're only winning 6 games, you're still going to fire him.
Well, I mean, I think that would be considered progress from what we're seeing right now.
For year one, and you'd be happy about it. But if he's still winning 6 wins in year 3, you're going, get rid of this guy. He's a bum.
So, all right, so now that these changes are going to happen, what are the expectations for next year? Now that we're going to have new offensive coaches, what are reasonable expectations next year, Derek?
I mean, you're going to have to see some improvement on offense. You're going to have to see some improvement on special teams. I don't know if there's a tangible win number that you could put out there, but it's definitely not 6 either. Like, it's got to be 7 or 8 wins, I guess, probably, if you're wanting to throw some numbers out there. But it's got to be some improvement. Defense can't take a huge step back with everybody they're losing.
Tyler, what about you?
I tend to agree with Derek. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know how much the offense needs to improve. I mean, we're a top 20 offense right now. I mean, I think we just need to do a couple things more efficiently and obviously score when special teams has a field goal and, you know, convert a little bit differently. But I don't know if there's a lot of on the field, like, statistical stuff. It's got to happen, the wins and losses column. It's really hard to put a number on it. Like, obviously, if he goes 5-7 or worse, you're going to fire him. Obviously, if he hits 9 wins, you're going to keep him. You know, that 6, 7, and 8 win column, you know, 8, you're probably feeling pretty good about, depending on, you know, how you finish the year. 6, 7, I mean, you would need some things to go right. You would need to get that signature victory that you talk about, Justin. Like, he, you know, he beats a top 5 opponent, goes 6-6. You know, maybe, I don't know. I there's just a lot of factors in there for me to say a hard win column. I could say 5 wins doesn't get him another year. But
I don't think 6 wins gets him another year either.
I think there's just so many facts. I don't know what. I know 9 does. I know 5 doesn't. 6 through 8, I think, is kind of this, like, how you play and how you, you know. Even 8, like, if you have a few blowout losses, and I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen in that 6 to 8 win column thing.
I suspect with a lot of Husker Nation, with as many people out there that do support Frost and coming back for another year, that I think they would be okay with 6 years or with 6 wins. I mean, they want to point to improvement, and Derek, I guess you do too. It's like, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. If you're just losing close, that's just as okay, that's just as good as winning. And there's a lot of other people out there that support that.
Hold on. No, that's bullshit. It doesn't mean it's just as good, but you can have progress without the wins coming. Like, I get it. Okay, you can say that this team is better than what they were. I understand it's not showing up in the win column, but you can still look at this team and go, man, they're playing a lot better than they did last year.
Which means it doesn't matter. Better. Which is completely true with what I just said. My mom always says this. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's how you play the game. And shucks, you were close to some good teams, and you're close to some bad teams. Shucks, that's improvement. That's what it is, right?
I think the wins and losses still matter. I just think the improvement matters more.
I think the instability that we've had, Matt. I think there's Justin, you want to talk about people just liking Frost because he's from Nebraska, and there's certainly an element to that. I'm not naive to that, but I think more than anything, Nebraska fans are just tired of change. I think we are just emotionally exhausted of every 3 or 4 years having a new head coach come in, and then it's always that, and then you always have this carousel. And I think people are just tired of that.
I think it could be a little different. They're tired of it
not working out. Tyler, that's what they're tired of. They're tired of bringing coaches that don't work out.
Then maybe our athletic directors need to figure out how to hire a coach. Because every time we hire a coach, we go up to somebody completely opposite of who the last guy was.
Somebody running
a completely opposite offense. Somebody running a completely opposite defense. So then we need 4 or 5 years to turn it over. And when they're not doing good within 4 or 5 years, we fire them.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm completely with you. You have to hire the right guy for the program. And just because
you have to find an identity and stick with it. Like, if you fire Frost, even if you were to fire Frost, you need to find somebody who runs a similar offense to his, to where you have to get a whole new.
What does Frost run?
More of a spread style offense.
I mean, because
something with a mobile quarterback.
His style of offense has changed in the 4 years since he's been here.
I would still call it more of a spread style offense. Adapt. Well, I sure as hell don't want to see a pro style offense coming in next.
Well, I mean,
which is probably what we would do. Either that or we'd go back to a 4-3 defense and completely change the defense, and the defense would totally suck. Well, we don't have the athletes for that. And then we'll be pissed off in 2 or 3 years when he's not winning because he don't have his athletes, and, well, we got to get rid of him.
So there's a kind of a fear of that as well, right? We've already made the changes on offense. We don't know who those will be. But there's also the fear on the defensive side of the ball where maybe Shenander gets picked up. There's a lot of job openings right now, and Shenander has done a great job at Nebraska. Maybe he's on the short list for some of these other jobs. Maybe he leaves. Travis Fisher, he was already attempted to be poached by Georgia last year. They were interested in him. Great coach. Maybe he decides to leave. I mean, there might be some additional rotation there on the defensive side of the ball. Because, you know, Scott Frost, his seat was hot this year. Obviously, it was hot because he had to fire coaches, had to make a big ordeal with the athletic director saying, yep, we're going to bring him back. So, yeah, his seat was hot. And then you're headed into next year. You have to replace all of these coaches on offense. I mean, is he still on the hot seat next year? Hell yes, he is. So now you have the problem of getting adequate coaches on the offensive side of the ball to come in and run an offense and be able to work with Scott Frost on an offensive plan. That's a lot of hope. And you never know if it's even going to pan out, unless maybe in the stipulation that Trev Alberts is going to give Scott Frost 2 years regardless with the new staff, which would make me freaking sick if they suck again next year. But so if there's instability there on the defensive side of the ball, if some of these coaches really leave, I mean, my God, it's kind of like a snowball effect, really, right? Do you agree?
I mean, sure, if it happens. I don't personally see Eric Shenander getting a head coaching job.
Not head coaching job, defensive coordinator job. He could get a DC job at somewhere else. They could poach him.
Yeah, but they could poach him the year after too. So I mean, I don't see any reason for him to leave this year.
Well, I think because
Scott Frost is on a hot seat, there's no reason for him to leave.
No, because if you're Shenander and you're looking at this roster headed into next year with all the super seniors that you're about to lose and Cam Taylor Britt, he's about to haul ass to the NFL.
I'm pretty excited with what I had coming back next year on defense.
Maybe you might be, but maybe Shenander's like, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe the secondary is a little scarce, but your linebackers are pretty solid still. You're going to have Caleb Tanner and Garrett Nelson on the outside with Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich coming back on the inside. That's pretty damn good. And if you have a defensive line with Casey Rogers and Ty Robinson and maybe a DeAndre Thomas or a Jordan Riley in there, I have no problem with that. You got Nash Utmacher maybe coming in to back him up. Like, I have no problem with that front seven if I'm looking at that. And then you're sitting here looking at the secondary, and I know they haven't got a lot of playing time, but you got a 5-star in Tyreek Johnson. You got a high 4-star in Noah Pola-Gates that should be starting next year. You already got Miles Farmer starting. I mean, he's got some experience. Braxton Clark and Quentin Newsom on the other cornerback spot. It's not like you're coming back with cupboards bare. You make it sound like the whole defense is leaving.
It's going to take a step back. The whole point is it's going to take a step back.
I don't think it takes as much of a step back as you think.
Tyler, what do you think there?
A lot to unpack there. I mean, I don't know what the defense is. It's hard for me to imagine it being as good as this year. But there, that can be unpacked a lot of ways. If the offense and special teams play a little bit better, maybe statistically it actually is in the same spot. Like, I mean, it doesn't help when you get a 13-yard punt and you just give up, like, easy field position. So a couple other things could break that can make this defense statistically the same. But I do agree with the premise that I do have concerns about this defensive staff coming back. And not just because Scott Frost is on the hot seat, but certainly part of it. Like, I think Shenander's name will get thrown around. I think Travis Fisher's name will get thrown around. I think these guys, regardless of the hot seat, we're probably going to have a risk with the hot seat. I do think that the risk of one or two or three of these guys leaving definitely goes up. I think there's no doubt about that. I would be surprised if all the defensive coaches come back next year.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of the hot seat, but that certainly plays a part. But I think the year they had, they have worked their ways into some good jobs. And we know there's going to be a lot of staffs out there. I just talked about USC, LSU, that are going to be building staffs. Like, I could see some people going out there and getting poached. I mean, but again, the flip side is Nebraska is not going to be the only team in the country that's going to enter with a coach on the hot seat. Right now, Sarkisian looks like he's going to enter next year on the hot seat. Dan Mullen, if he survives Florida, will. I mean, Manny Diaz, if he survives Fuente at Virginia Tech. There'll be a lot of coaches, if they survive this year, that will enter the hot seat. So it's not isolated to Nebraska.
No, I mean, you're right. But, you know, the fact that you guys are, like, making it ridiculous that Scott Frost should be, you know, in the position that he is after four bad years of coaching football, that, you know, I just want to see change. You just laid it out. Dan Mullen, hot seat. Sarkisian just got to Texas, and if he's on the hot seat already, that's even a worse situation than what we're in. I don't know, what's his Texas record right now? I mean,
4-5, 4-6, something like that.
Yeah. Do you guys, Tyler, do you worry about the ability to get adequate coaches, though, permanent coaches next year with all the moving pieces and hot seat, though?
I worry about it. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sure. But again, I'm also the guy that worries if we fire who we're going to bring in. I don't know if it really changes. I think that Nebraska, like, until you get stability, is going to have a hard time going out there and getting coaches.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I mean, you need the stability piece. That's the other reason why I was like, you know what? With all of those factors that are going against you, I mean, maybe starting over clean is the right way to do it.
We haven't done that.
But, well, just because you haven't done it right before, I mean, Pelini worked out. Pelini was a good hire. I mean, it ended bad. There was a fractured relationship, but he was a good hire.
Yes.
Callahan, that didn't work out. So basically we're talking about Callahan and Riley not working out.
And then you say Frost.
Well, yeah, and Frost now. But Frost was he was a good hire. He wasn't a bad hire. Bill Callahan and Mike Riley's, they were bad hires. Scott Frost was a good hire, but he just didn't pan out. He's not panning out.
And again,
that's the difference.
And with Bo Pelini, we've been down this road. I think a lot of Bo Pelini's success had to go by the fact that you had Ndamukong Suh and you had a really loaded
team. He had Ndamukong Suh for 2 years, and he still won consistently after he was gone.
I get it, but the recruiting was trailing off towards the end of Bo Pelini. He
was rode there for 7 years. I mean,
he was riding the success early, and the recruiting was falling off towards the end of his tenure. I mean, again, he never got a chance to fall apart. We got rid of him before that. That was obviously a mistake.
But he wasn't a bad hire. That's the whole point, right?
He wasn't a bad hire. I would argue that he worked out. I would argue that he had success. I still don't know. If we went out there and hired a defensive coordinator that had 4 years of defensive coordinator experience, had never been at a program for 3 years, would you be happy about that hire to replace Frost?
Well, it's a similar situation.
No, the answer is you wouldn't.
It's a similar situation now. I mean, I guess the one thing that Bo Pelini had was that he was at Nebraska, had slight Nebraska ties.
And that's why it passed. And that's why it passed.
There's a lot of people that wanted him to get the job over Bill Callahan. He didn't get it. So when Bill Callahan, when he failed, he was a logical choice to come in. He's like, yep, we got our guy. Good hire. Everybody was happy up until later.
And I've heard people, and I've heard people throw out, hire Eric Shenander as the head coach if you fire Frost.
Well, I mean, maybe as an interim. If Scott Frost was one of the axed guys today, then yeah, let him be an interim head coach.
I'm just saying, like that whole argument was never made sense to me. Why Bo Pelini, like, you fired the coach, and yeah, you want to keep the you want to promote the assistant to head coach? Like, I don't know that I never really bought that. And I get the fans; it's the same fans that like want Eric Shenander to be the head coach now. But I mean,
is there that many people that want?
I think that when you start looking at the people that want to fire Frost, I think there's a good percentage of them that like that hire.
Permanently? Especially when you hear, are you talking about permanently or just interim? Yes,
permanently. Oh, okay. Especially when you start hearing the names that are getting thrown out there.
I wouldn't be on board with that. I mean, not saying that he can't do it, but haven't seen him do it. But Shenander is, he's gone from, you know what, he was like one of those guys that Husker fans, including us, we hated at first. Thought he was terrible. And now he is the one. Well, there's a lot of bright spots on defense, but he damn sure is making a name for himself. He is doing a spectacular job. But I don't know if that translates to head coaching. But Derek, what do you think about the getting adequate coaches at this time?
Well, it'll be tough, and chances are we're not going to like the hires because he's probably going to have to go to a group of five schools to pick up some guys. Because you're not going to pull Alabama's coaches. You're not going to pull Clemson's coaches. You're not going to pull Big Ten coaches. It's probably not going to happen, especially with the hot seat. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So you're probably going to have to go down the group of five level and find some coaches.
Well, I would also say that while there's a lot of big-time programs changing over coaching staffs, I mean, you look at USC coaches, you look at LSU coaches. I mean, they have some fairly successful assistant coaches that are going to be job searching too. And, you know.
I mean, I guess your other route is you can look into the NFL and find some failed coaches there.
Yeah, you're not going to go pick any brand name Power Five successful programs.
Maybe you need Bill Callahan to come coach offensive line.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the complaints was when Scott Frost was hired that, you know, he brought a whole bunch of group of five coaches that have never coached in a Power Five conference. So, Derek, you're insinuating that now that we're just going to have to reach back into the group of five realm and bring in guys to replace these guys, right? Is that a good thing or a bad
possibility?
Thing? Is that a good thing?
All right. I think if you get the top ones, I think you're all right. If you can get some of the top ones, if you can find me a offensive line coach who knows how to teach how not to give up five sacks a game, all right.
So are you going to have a warm and fuzzy if all four replacements are group of five?
I mean,
coaches that have never coached Power Five football?
I'm probably not going to love it, but that's probably the situation we're going to be in.
Yeah, and then the other thing to consider about this, all the coaching changes is, yes, there is concern. I don't know.
Maybe you can offer enough money to go get Wake Forest offensive coordinator. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
their offense is pretty spectacular.
Well, I would just say that the one thing about this, the money we didn't really talk about, is it does free up money for 2022. Like, it does free up money to go out there and maybe keep a Shenander. Maybe now you can, hey, you lowered that buyout enough. One of my concerns was, would they give him a pay raise knowing that he's on the hot seat? Well, now you can afford to give him another $200,000 because you just saved $7.5 million if you end up having to fire Frost. So you can go out there and maybe pay a little bit more for some assistance because you just saved $1 million a year.
And that could be a key, too. Like, how much is Trev Alberts willing to spend? Because you could probably go get some top assistants from Power 5 schools if you're willing to spend the money to do it.
Even with the lame duck, because they're going to still get the buyout. Because, again, you can afford more now. And not even necessarily yearly salary.
I just don't know if I see I just don't know if I see Nebraska going that route.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to, but again, and I know that
we're much better than like a Wisconsin about paying our assistants, but we're not going to go out and pay our assistants more than what Clemson's doing or Alabama's doing. Like we're not going to be willing to spend that kind of money to get top guys in here.
But a name
could probably go get some Wisconsin's offensive line coach. Cause I guarantee he ain't making a lot of money. Go double his salary.
Well, a name that was thrown out previously for a coaching staff was Mickey Joseph. And obviously Mickey Joseph has Nebraska ties. And some people said we never really went after him. Some people said we called him and he wasn't interested. I don't know. The difference is Mickey Joseph is now looking for a job. So the world's a little bit different when you don't have LSU at the job. So, and again, would he be a great hire? I don't know. He seemed like he did pretty well at LSU. I mean, there's going to be names out there. Kevin Falk at LSU, another name that I think, hey, we need a running back coach. Obviously, I think they've done some pretty nice things at LSU. Maybe he plays. Like, I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I think there are going to be coaches on the market that have a pedigree that Nebraska fans could get excited about. That we can get, especially if we're willing to spend, and I think we have the budget to do that.
Headed into, so we got two games left this year. We're looking at interim coaches here. Sean Callahan, he put out a tweet, and his best guess at the replacements, he had Steve Cooper, who's the offensive quality control coach right now, to be the quarterback coach. Two other analysts, Frank Verducci and Steve DeMeo, to coach offensive line. Ron Brown, he projects him to be the running backs coach. He's currently the senior offensive analyst coach, or senior offensive analyst, I should say. And then Sean Becton would be the wide receivers and tight ends coach. And then Scott Frost as the OC. So that's what he projects. How do you see it playing out against the final two games, against Wisconsin and Iowa? I mean, how engaged are we going to be on offense? And I mean, do you guys have any concerns about the offense in these final two games, regardless of who it's going to be as interim, Derek?
I mean, absolutely. You just fired all your offensive coaches. I don't imagine the offense is going to be real happy about it. I mean, I've already seen a couple of offensive linemen throw out there that they're pretty bummed that Greg Austin's gone. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to play. I'm not saying they're going to give up, but
you might give up sacks.
They already do that. I don't know. It's just, I mean, you want to talk about being worried. I'm much more worried now about this offense than I was 6 hours ago, because now I have no clue what we're going to be able to do. I don't know what these analysts are going to be able to do as far as coaches. I don't know.
Well, so if you believe that analysts are very key in game planning, but they obviously aren't working with the players, I would say that there's probably less reason to worry about. And not that our players don't need active development right now, because they obviously do. That's part of the reason why the coaches got fired. But I don't know how much at this point in the season you're going to get a massive development in players. So I guess where I'm going to this, I don't know if I expect a major drop-off in our offense. I'm certainly not, like, more optimistic about it, but I think the thing that's most nerve-wracking about our offense the last 2 weeks is the defenses we play. Like, I think playing Wisconsin and Iowa is playing Wisconsin and Iowa, the two of the three best defenses in the Big Ten, if not the two best. I mean, like, that's the thing that scares you. I don't know. I don't know if I see us falling off of a cliff offensively. And Justin, you've said it. I think that Frost has had his hands to some degree. That's one of the things. I know we're going to talk about this shortly with the coaching changes, but what we don't know about Frost this year is what was his involvement day to day? Was he calling plays on Saturday? I don't know if we know that answer.
I think all signs point to yes on that.
Do they? Because he gave up play calling duties at the end of last year, or at least started splitting it. I don't know
what makes you think Scott Frost was calling plays. When Scott Frost is calling plays, all we run is screens and swing passes. And we didn't hardly see any of that all year. So I don't know what makes you think Scott Frost is calling plays.
Because he said it in one of his post-game conferences.
Well, I think he made a comment that he called a certain series of games plays. But I don't know if he's called every series or majority of series this season. I don't know. He may have called every single play called this whole season. But I think you're speculating.
Okay, I mean, maybe. Tyler, is there one of these offensive coaches that were fired that you thought was fired unjustly?
Well, okay, you want to start there. Lubick is the name. Like, that's the guy that I feel like I've seen a little bit out of wide receiver room. He hasn't been at Nebraska that long. That was, of all the coaches that ended up getting terminated, that he was the guy that was... he was the only one I was like, yeah, I don't know. But I do think if you believe that this was Scott Frost's decision, I think he made a very clear message that he needs an offensive overhaul, and that I think that you have to hold the offensive coordinator accountable in part to that.
Offensive overhaul meaning what?
I mean, it was evident with the coaches he fired that he targeted the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, so you're not talking about like changing the offense, just the personnel, right?
Yeah, I mean, the personnel, and I think, I mean, whether it be situational play calling, whether it be again, maybe it's game planning, maybe it's other, hell, maybe it is just wide receiver rotation. Maybe he's like, why isn't Oliver Martin playing? I've been wondering the same damn thing. Like we all have, like. I don't understand why Xavier Betts isn't taking more. Like, I don't know. And these are things that I don't know who is having the final say in. But yeah, that's the one guy that I was kind of like, wow, really? I was a little bit surprised to see him. I don't even think I was surprised. He was the most surprising.
Derek, what about you? Was there one surprise for you?
I would agree with Matt Lubick. I thought the offense clearly took a step forward this year. I think he made it. I think that was partly him. But I think Tyler laid that out. I'll play devil's advocate here and say maybe Sean or Ryan Held. Because if the offensive line is as bad as they say it is, which it was, it's no wonder running backs can't run the ball. The only reason I won't stick up for Ryan Held is because of the running back rotation. Like, you can never seem to decide on who the hell is going to be your running back.
He had no idea who he had at running back. He was so indecisive. I mean, that was crazy. After all that BS talk about him identifying a guy that can, you know, take 19 to 26 snaps or 20 to 26, whatever that number was, he bounced around running backs all the time. It's like, you don't even know your roster.
He was much more consistent with Ramirez Johnson here in the last four or five games.
He has been, yeah. He has been. But look how long it took him to get to Ramirez Johnson.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But again, I think a lot of that had to do with offensive line. That offensive line's got to get better. And it's not just pass protection that they need to get better at. They need to get better at run blocking.
Yeah. So... I mean, Justin, was there anyone that kind of shocked you, or who is?
No, he wanted the whole staff fired.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was. One of the things that I did not want to hear, because I knew if we had an announcement from Trev Alberts during the bye week or before the season ended, it was going to be that he was coming back, because you have to make an announcement. So you don't screw up recruiting and you can get a jump on all this other stuff. All the speculation, you have to squash all those rumors, right? So once I saw that statement from Huskers, their Twitter account, I didn't even need to read it to know that Frost was coming back. And yeah, I was disappointed. I was absolutely disgusted with that decision. That's not something that I wanted to hear. That's where we are right now, and it gives me slight encouragement, ever so slight encouragement, that he is taking out the three worst coaches that I thought were on the offense, plus Lubick. I was never sold on Lubick. I think, you know, with whatever that he did, if you want to say he was calling plays, if he was part of the offensive plan, we sucked in the red zone yet again. And so if you want to blame Lubick for that, that's fine. But this has been a ongoing thing under Frost for 4 years now. I'm pointing the finger at Frost. He's the reason why we suck in the red zone. But if you guys want to give him a pass, and if Trev Alberts wants to give him a pass, I'm okay with firing everybody on offense. So it gives me slight encouragement just to see new faces in there. And we'll see if it's going to be more of the same or if we're going to actually finally see meaningful improvement. And when I say meaningful improvement, I want to see it in the win column. Because I tell you what, all these close losses, they don't mean shit to me anymore. I mean, it's like, yep, that's another freaking loss. Yay, I'm going to applaud that. Yeah, I'm not applauding close losses anymore.
And that's fair, Justin. You don't have to applaud close losses. I understand that. But you have to acknowledge that there is a difference between what Dan Mullen did, losing by 4 touchdowns to the SEC equivalent to Maryland, versus what Scott Frost did by losing by 9 points to Ohio State.
Tyler, would you take one ass beating in a game for 3 or 4 more wins?
Is that his only ass beating all season?
I don't know. Would you take 2 ass beatings for 4 wins?
4 more wins?
Yeah.
I mean, I lived through that with Bo Pelini.
Yeah. So would you?
But yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're going to say I can have 9 wins, but when you're sitting there 4 and 5 versus 3 and 6, like I'm not and I'm getting my asses kicked. I don't know if there's a tangible difference. 4 more wins.
Like all those close losses that we've had, would you take 2 ass beatings for 4 more?
Yes.
Yeah. Derek, what would you do?
Probably, but again, I was never on board with firing Pelini. So.
But no. The whole question is, you know, people are championing because wow, we're losing close. I would take ass beatings, 2 ass beatings a year. I'd take 2 56-20 ass beatings.
I don't think you would. I think if we were getting to 4 more wins, but we were getting our asses beat, you'd still be clamoring for Frost be fired because we were getting our asses beat.
So had we never been in this scenario that we're in right now, where we're not going to a bowl game yet again, and with the offensive reshuffle that we're going to endure, it is almost guaranteed that we will finish 3-9. We're not going to get to 5-7 with that little slight chance to get a bowl game. That's out the window. So
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, I think if the roles were reversed and you were right, and we've got 4 more wins and we're sitting at 7 wins instead of 3. But we got our asses handed to us by 6 touchdowns to Ohio State. You would still be pissed about how shitty this team was because we just got beat by 6 touchdowns.
I mean,
I don't think you would be happy either way.
Well, I'd be a hell of a lot more happy in that scenario.
Think you would. I don't think you would. I think you could say that because hindsight's 20/20, but I don't think you would be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm saying that because hindsight is 20/20, but right now, I mean, I'm not applauding all of these close wins like you.
Nobody's applauding the close wins. I'm not applauding close or the close losses.
You may not be applauding.
I'm just saying I see progress.
That's improve. It's progress.
That's not applauding it. That's not applauding it. You can see progress
accepting
and still be disappointed.
It as progress is just like being okay with it. You're okay
no,
with
it's
it
not.
Because you're, no, it's you're not. Counting it as progress. No. You have 3 wins it's and a bunch of close losses.
You can be disappointed and still see a team getting better.
You support that direction.
Oh, you support God. Shut that up. Direction. I'm done. I'm done.
That's what
Let's
you're saying. That's
done.
Exactly what you're
here.
Saying.
I'm done. No, it's not. But you're not going to listen to me because you're too fucking bullheaded. Just like every other time. It's not your way, so it's got to be the highway.
That's not true.
It is. Scott Frost didn't get fired, and no matter what anybody else says, they're going to be wrong because Scott Frost didn't get fired.
Well, I mean, yeah, that part's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Though. That part's
exactly.
true.
It's all Justin's way or no way. Let's just get out of here. I'm done with it.
Well, I still have one more topic I wanted to get into with this.
All right, well, you guys have fun with it.
Derek, you can't go.
He gets pissed off easy. You know him.
Oh.
All right, go ahead, Tanner.
Well, I was going to ask the question, like, were you guys, I don't want to say surprised, did you think it was the right call to get rid of so many assistants at this point in the season?
It did shock me. It damn sure shocked me.
But do you think it was the right decision? Not if you wanted to fire those four coaches, albeit I'm not even going to argue about that. Like, but were you? Do you think it was the right decision to say to get rid of all of them at this juncture in the season? Derek, I'll go to you, and then I'll go to Justin.
I would say yes and no. I can argue both sides. Like I don't think it was smart because you're not helping anything. You're not helping in the next two games. You're not helping recruiting really, because now it's gonna be tough to recruit for all those positions. But I will say this: you can now start actively searching for coaches, and so it gives you a little bit more leeway to find somebody. So I can see where the good's coming out of it.
Justin,
it did shock me. I was like, because my initial thing was after I heard about all four coaches, I'm like, holy shit, who's going to finish off the year? But, I mean, maybe they're just cashing it in, just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Get them out of here. We're going to play for next year anyway. So maybe I kind of hope that maybe Logan Smothers finally sees some playing time in the last two games. If Scott Frost is coming back next year, you might as well get Logan Smothers some meaningful playing time. Adrian Martinez, in all actuality, he's probably not coming back. And maybe that was another thing as a decision from Trev Alberts and Scott Frost. It's like, yeah, you can't bring Adrian Martinez back. You need some new blood there at quarterback. So play some Logan Smothers instead of like sending him down to the bench to color during the games. Play him. I mean, you got to shake it up. You're not going to win these final two games anyway.
I don't agree with that statement, but let's leave that to the side. Yes. But I think we can win these two games. I think we can win one of these two games. I don't think our odds have dramatically changed one way or another.
So if Logan Smothers, if he starts the final two, you think he could?
I think that would dramatically change your chances to win.
Well, I think, yeah. And if Scott Frost is playing for next year with which whatever he did to get Trev Alberts talked into bringing him back, he has to play for next year. And if Adrian Martinez is not going to be part of those plans, you already know that he has four coaches that are not part of his plans for next year. You got to play the guy that you think is going to give you the best shot, because this year's a wash. Whether you win three games or four games, it doesn't fucking matter.
What about five games?
You're not going to win five games. Okay, even five games. It doesn't freaking matter.
You just said the other night, if you win the last two games, it does matter.
Yeah, but we're not going to win five games.
But it doesn't fit his narrative. So.
But, well, do you think we're instantly going to get better by having all these analysts as the coaches?
But again, I think
I don't. But I don't think it necessarily means that we can't win. I mean, you thought we were going to get destroyed by about six touchdowns to Ohio State last week, and we didn't.
I don't know what I was going to bring. Oh, Wisconsin, I still don't trust Graham Mertz. We'll see. I'm not saying we're winning this. We'll get into those games next week. But what I wanted to get to my point, anything that came out today, I was not a fan of getting rid of all four assistants. And I think it ultimately goes to, I am not really the fire the coach guy. I wasn't that under Mike Riley. I just am not that guy. If you wanted to get rid of one coach, if you want to get rid of Verduzco, hell, if you want to get rid of Verduzco and Austin, if you want to get rid of one or two guys, just kind of send a message that, hey, we're going to be shaking things up to kind of say we're moving, that's fine. I think that the benefit, like, I don't get the whole head start. If Scott Frost is searching for coaches right now, then he's not prepared. I don't think that that's actively happening at an assistant level. So I don't see value in it.
I'm curious to know, is Trev Alberts going to give him 2 years by allowing him to just have a complete roster or assistant coach turnover here?
No, I don't think so. I think that the buyout was very intentional. I think that I believe Trev Alberts at his word that he did not tell Scott Frost he is changing coaches. I think that there was probably a conversation that said, Scott, if you want to come back, we are redoing your contract.
Well, if you take it for what Trev Alberts said, that Scott Frost laid this plan out to him, maybe Scott Frost knew that he wasn't going to be brought back, and he's like, last ditch effort, I want to stay here, and this is what I'm going to do.
But I don't think Scott Frost, I think Scott Frost was okay with a salary cut. I don't think Scott Frost was like, hey, you know what, cut my buyout in half. Like, I can't, like, who, I mean, are you going to your employer and saying, hey, you want to cut my pay in half?
If I was on the verge of being fired? Yeah, because he's not going to get that salary anywhere else next year. If he were to be fired this year, he's not going to go out and get $4 million.
I would rather get fired and take the $20 million than take that.
He's coaching for free next year. Like, he is, like, the decision that Scott Frost made.
He wants to be here. He wants to be here.
And I mean, you don't want him to be here, but he wants to be here. He's willing to coach for not only free, he is paying the university to coach here next year. Because that's how much money he just gave, that new contract is giving away. He is paying the university $3 million to be here next year.
What should be on his conscience since he's robbed the goddamn university of $20 million over the last 4 years for 15 wins? I think he got the better end of the deal. He got the better end of the deal by far. If he wants to be here, hey, you go make your deal so you can coach one more year and see what you can get out of this.
I will say this. This is just general statement about all universities, with the exception of the Nick Sabans and the Dabo Sweeneys and whatnot. Why don't more universities do this? Where, like Michigan. Michigan did a great thing last year by cutting Jim Harbaugh's salary in half and making it all incentive based.
That's what I thought they were going to do to Frost when they came out with
that. But I think every head coach's first contract should look that way. Like, you come
I'm
here,
fine with that.
You're successful, we'll pay you. Once you're successful like a Nick Saban, then we'll pay you, we'll give you the automatic pay.
Well, Derek,
I said that in text today, that his salary should be half and incentive-based.
And I think there will be incentives. I think there will be a new incentives to get him up there when it comes down.
I think not $4 million. I think that incentive could have started at 2.5.
Eligibility
and 9 wins. And
I mean, that's what Harbaugh's making. Harbaugh's making a little over $4 million.
His salary was cut in half.
It wasn't reduced 20%. But he was $8 million. It's a big difference. But anyway, but I do think there'll be incentives that come. But the reason why that doesn't happen, Derek, to answer your question, is because the market is so competitive for these head coaches that these schools can't dick around.
They won't do it.
Well, you all have to, like,
guy.
You all have to get together and hold hands. Yeah, you all have to hold hands.
You guys think that Scott Frost is marketable outside of Nebraska.
Who is talking about Scott Frost? Where'd that come from?
I'll tell you a story about it.
It had nothing to do with Scott Frost.
I'll tell you a story about your cousin Justin here for a second. So we were having you weren't on this thread. Two of our cousins from South Carolina, they were happy about their game against Dan Mullen. They're happy about this. They beat Florida. They're happy about it. Justin, unprovoked, throws in Scott Frost. Like, I don't understand why you still have Husker stuff in your background. Because you find any reason to bash on Nebraska.
No, bash on Scott Frost.
You don't know Nebraska.
And that's all we get. Purdue, by halfway through the first quarter, I had 20 text messages on my phone. This Ohio State game where we actually played well, I did not get one text message till the second quarter.
No, you did. You got one. In the second quarter, it was, why have you benched Martinez yet?
Well, that whole reason was completely different. It wasn't benching him because of he was playing poor. It was because he was obviously limping. He's walking. I mean, he's not doing himself. And he gets hit hard and he's limping. And it's like, oh my God, get him out of there if he's hurt. And then all of a sudden, Scott Frost wants to run his limping, hurt quarterback on a quarterback run. Two plays after that, I was like,
At any rate, I heard a zero from Justin when we were playing well. Zero. Not one thing.
What did you send out during that time?
I didn't, because it was nice having my phone be peaceful.
Oh, all right.
But during that Purdue game, I got 20 text messages talking shit.
I don't recall that.
I can go back and look. It'll take
you
a while.
You can go back and look. I don't recall. I don't recall any of those text messages. But
yeah. At some point in time, like, I get it that the school, University of Nebraska, is bigger than Scott Frost, and I acknowledge that, and that's fine. But when you, it just, I guess where I'm at today, kind of putting a bow on this whole thing, like, I don't know if it's going to work out for Scott Frost, and I would say that there's evidence to support that it doesn't look good. Yeah. And
go ahead.
And I don't know, but I am fine riding it out with him. I'm fine giving him every chance to succeed until there is no doubt that it's just not going to happen. And that's what it seems like they're doing, is they're saying, you know what, we are actually all in with you. We are going to ride with you. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that when they brought in Riley.
If Trev Alberts had real faith in Scott Frost, would he have restructured his? I mean, would he have restructured his contract, or would he have just kept it the same?
I think that there's just realistic world you live in. I mean, to the point where you're like, they're still paying him $4 million. I mean, they could have probably negotiated that down more. I think $4 million is fair. I don't think that I thought it was going to be about 3.8. I had jotted down that I thought his salary was going to go to 3.8 and a $10 million buyout. So they kept it a little bit higher, and they lowered his buyout a little bit more than I thought they were going to get it. I didn't think they'd get it down in half.
Yeah, I mean, Frost has proven through these last 4 years, and I think you're right, Tyler. I mean, his upside is extremely limited. I mean, the chances of him ever getting to what Nebraska fans ultimately want, it is highly, highly unlikely. But maybe he gets to, you know, eight or nine wins, but he will never win a conference championship for sure. He'll probably never win a division championship at Nebraska. It's played out the way it is. It's played out way worse than what any of us envisioned when he was going to come into Nebraska. And it's been a huge disappointment.
I disagree. I think there's still a lot of upside to Scott Frost. I think if he can get an offensive line coach, a decent one in there, maybe get a quarterback's coach. I don't even know if that's the best idea, but get a special teams coach in there. For the love of God, get a special teams coach in there. Because you fix those two things, and I think I think if you fix those two things alone, I think we're probably sitting at 8 wins already this year.
Yeah, that's extremely bold. I mean, the evidence isn't there that's true, but
sure it is.
Derek, I don't know if
those two areas have killed us in every game that we've lost.
Derek, I don't know.
You fix those two areas? Shit, yeah.
I'm not sure
we're not sitting at 9 wins.
Yeah, I mean, Derek, I'll put it this way. If you had a better offensive line and better special teams, if you had average both, we have a winning record right now. I mean, and undefeated. If you had a good offensive line and good special teams, fuck, I don't know if that's out of the question. But we don't.
It's out of the question because he don't like Scott Frost.
So no, I mean, it's out of the question because he hasn't done it, Derek.
No, it's out of the question because our offensive line sucks.
4 years,
man.
4 years. Show me the evidence where, I mean, what you're saying would actually be true this year. There's no evidence. It's not like that we're regressed to 3 wins. We've improved to 3 wins, according to you. We've improved.
All right, let's get in the games of the week.
Oh, we're done with games of the week.
No, why? Because I'm winning?
Huh? Yeah, you're winning, but let's go ahead. Let's get out of here. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter @HuskerCuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and don't forget to rate and view. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.